Jambase is pleased to present Clusterflies, a covers compilation reimagining Phish's album Farmhouse, bonus songs, and revamped tracklist. The limited edition 3LP release was mastered by engineer Joe Lampert and includes custom artwork and a poster created by longtime Phish collaborator Jim Pollock. A pre-order is underway now through May 3rd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Visit www.clusterflies.com for purchasing information as well as full album credits and tracklist details. Among the artists who recorded Phish covers for Clusterflies were Umphreys McGee's, Brendan Bayless, Club Delph, Daniel Donato, Sylvan Esso, Chris Forsyth, Neil Francis, Jennifer Hartswick, Amy Helm, Lindsay Liu, Reed Mathis, White Denims, James Petrolli, Strand of Oaks, Sadler Vaden, Vetiver, William Tyler, Riley Walker, and a supergroup led by Tim Palmieri. Each of the songs on Clusterflies will be featured via daily episodes of the Jambase podcast, with interviews with the musicians that recorded the cover. This episode features Dogs Stole Things, which was covered for Clusterflies by Neil Francis.
Montori Rolls, a longtime member of the Phish organization, wrote the liner notes to the 2000 album Trampled by Lambs and Pecked by the Dove. The release was a collection of demos recorded by Phish guitarist Trey Anastasio and his songwriting partner since childhood, Tom Marshall. Trey and Tom recorded the demos during four writing sessions held in Vermont in 1997. Montori's liner notes stated, quote, "In early 1997, I got a message from Trey that he and Tom Marshall, his longtime writing partner, wanted to get together to come up with some new material for Phish. They asked if I could help them find a quiet place to write and record some demos. Not really having anything in particular in mind, I spent a day driving around north central Vermont looking for a place that had a good vibe and at least one big room. I found three farmhouses that were available for rent, and we took the first one, Mountain View Farm, to begin the first of four sessions of writing and recording that produced the material on this disc. Mountain View Farm is a big old farmhouse with a big old barn. It sits on 125 acres of land and has a 65-mile view in one direction. The house is pictured on the cover. Trey and Tom spent 2 3-day weekends there in March and May of 1997. They recorded on a small demo studio that Phish sound technicians Paul Languedoc and Pete Carini put together for them, consisting of a Tascam DA-88, a Mackie board, and some various drums, guitars, and keyboards. The songs that were written and recorded during those first two writing sessions were Olivia's Pool, Piper, Limb by Limb, I Saw It Again, Ghost, Dog Stole Things, No Regrets, Waiting in a Velvet Seat, Dirt, Twist, Flat Tornadoes, I Don't Care, Water in the Sky, and Vultures." End quote. The last track on Trampled by Lambs, Dog Stole Things, remains the only officially released quote-unquote studio version of the song, as Phish left it off of both 1998's The Story of the Ghost and 2000's Farmhouse. But when it came time to reimagine Farmhouse for the Clusterflies project, Dog Stole Things, which again was written during the same time as other Farmhouse tracks Piper, Twist, and Dirt, was an obvious choice for inclusion. Here's a bit of what the Dog Stole Things demo sounds like, from Trampled by Lambs and Pecked by the Dove.
Dog stole things I needed bad. Cats took what I never had. Pillows for my aching head. A glass of milk next to my bed. The creatures that seem oh so kind and sleep all day and ease your mind. My night is hopefully dead alone. And look to steal.
While Dog Still Thinks has yet to make it on an official Phish studio album, the song that has been played less than 50 times appears on several official live releases, including Amsterdam 97, Virginia Beach in Atlanta from Summer 97, Hampton from Fall 97, the April 1998 Island Tour, and Hampton Comes Alive and Wooster from Fall 1998. Trey and Tom's writing retreats were held in March and May of 1997. Several of the songs that came from those sessions made their public debuts on Phish's Summer 1997 European Tour that took place in June and July. Many of those same songs made their semi-public debuts at the pre-tour warm-up concert held at Phish's at-the-time tour manager Brad Sands and the aforementioned drum tech Pete Carini's house in Charlotte, Vermont. The June 6, 1997 rehearsal called Bradstock, or alternatively the Fourth Ball, featured Phish playing two sets, though the second set repeated many of the songs that were played for the first time in the first set. Nearly all of the songs listed by Muntori in the liner notes I read before were played that night, Dog Stole Things among them. It was also one of the songs played once in each set, though a recording of only the second set version of Dog Stole Things from Bradstock circulates. Here's a bit of that recording. Started their before-mentioned European summer tour in Dublin, Ireland on June 13, 1997. They opened the show with Theme from the Bottom, and then the debut of Dog Stole Things, the first of 13 new original songs Phish would introduce over the course of the two-night stand in Dublin. After playing Dog Stole Things, Trey spoke to the audience in Dublin about the pending new material.
We wrote about 15 or 16 new tunes over the last 8 weeks, and we're going to be debuting a lot of them tonight, so we're pretty excited about it. And that is called Dog Stole Things. And now we're going to play a Del McCrory song called Beauty of My Dreams.
After its debut, Dog Stole Things was played by Phish at their next three shows, and a total of 10 times by the end of that European tour. When Phish returned that summer to tour North America, they opened with a show in Virginia Beach on July 21st, 1997, which some of you listening may have watched as part of the band's Dinner in a Movie archival webcast series last year. The first set in Virginia Beach opened with four songs Phish debuted weeks earlier in Europe: Ghost, Dog Stole Things, Piper, and Dirt. They then covered Ginseng Sullivan, followed by Bathtub Gin. During the funky gin jam, Trey again spoke to the audience about the new songs, recapping the start of the set.
To the first show of the North American tour. It's gonna be back! USA! USA! Yes, we do have a lot of new material for you. I know most of you probably know that already, but we did start off the show tonight with four new songs. Just so you get it right and you make sure that you know all the names and titles of the songs, I'm going to tell you right now. The first song was called Ghost. That was that funky thing that went into the long jam. Ah, yes. The second song was called Dogs Stole Things. So make sure you get that right. That was the bluesy number about how your pets, your dogs and your cats, you know, during the day they're sleeping and they're feeling good and everything, but at night they come and they try to steal your soul. So you gotta watch out for that. Obviously, by the way he's playing, they have not stolen Fishman's soul yet.
Dog Stole Things was performed 7 times by Phish on the North American leg of their summer 1997 tour, including once with late drummer Bob Gulati playing on a second kit alongside John Fishman. Phish played Dog Stole Things 2 more times on fall 1997 tour, and it remained in fairly regular rotation, appearing 5 times in 1998, 4 times in 1999, but then just 2 times in 2000. After returning from their first 2-year hiatus that spanned late 2000 through 2002, Dog Stole Things was performed twice in 2003 and not at all in 2004. When Phish came back from their second hiatus, that spanned mid-2004 through early 2009, it wasn't until their show on August 10th, 2011 in Tahoe that Dog Stole Things was unleashed again, opening a first set for the second time and ending a gap of 167 shows between Phish performances. Dog Stole Things appeared once more in summer of 2012, but then went another 182 shows before being played in the fall of 2016. Dog Stole Things was the show opener, again, on the final night of the Baker's Dozen residency at Madison Square Garden on August 6, 2017. Phish's most recent performance of Dog Stole Things came on July 10th, 2019. When Dog Stole Things is fetched next, it will be the 39th live performance by Phish. In versions of Dog Stole Things that have been played since it returned in 2011, Trey has considerably altered how he delivers his lead vocal. Check out those last two performances I just mentioned to hear a change in the way that Trey and keyboardist Paige McConnell sing the song. Historically, Dog Stole Things featured Trey singing near the bottom of his vocal register, and Paige would double those vocals 1 octave higher. For those 2 most recent versions, Trey sings up a full octave of his previous vocal, while Paige will sometimes fill in with some additional harmonies. Clusterflies, Dog Stole Things was covered by Chicago-based keyboardist Neil Francis. Neil and I spoke recently about all things Phish, his recording of Dog Stole Things, and more. Here's that chat with Neil. So let's get going. So I'm here with Neil Francis, who did Dog Stole Things for our Clusterflies project. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me, Neil.
Yeah, of course.
I'm talking to you from Chicago. We were just going over. How are things there?
Things are a little bit chilly, but just, you know, I love it here. Grew up here, so it's my favorite city.
Spring is on the horizon. It's the best time.
Yeah, man.
Year, right?
Trees are budding, and it's looking good.
And baseball's back, so everything's on the up and up, right?
Oh yeah.
We're gonna talk a little bit about your recording. We'll get to that in a second, but I first wanted to talk to you about sort of your knowledge or your background or your relationship with the music of Phish. What kind of is your personal history with their music? Were you very familiar with it before we approached you for the project?
So I have always sort of been on the periphery of the Phish community in terms of just like, I remember the first time I heard about Phish was when my buddy in junior high, Peter, like I was over at his house and we were like 13 years old and he had some older brothers and they're like, dude, check this out. And, you know, I can't remember what like album it was, but like Peter got really into Phish
okay.
that year. And like, I was already like, kind of in on my own trajectory, listening to like classic rock and like soul and funk, which I know is like 1 degree separated from Phish because those guys listen to all that stuff, you know? And like, I've heard Trey talk about that. So like, I've always had respect for Phish, like deep respect, but I've never seen them live.
Okay.
And so now like all my friends are competing to like get me to go with them to like my first Phish show. Cause they like, you know, they're like, oh man, like it's such a special experience. So, I think I have that to look forward to in my near future, especially after, you know, doing this cover, you know, building my Phish cred. But like, I mean, my roommate / drummer, Colin O'Brien, is like a big Phish fan, as is the bass player in my band, Mike Starr. And like, you know, so I, through osmosis, know a lot about Phish, like more than your casual person. And like, I see, you know, like I was just watching like a show from 92 the other day. I'm like, damn, this is killing, man. Like, like these guys sound like Pat Metheny or something. It's like, it's rad. So, but man, never seen a show. And like, I really have a very kind of nebulous knowledge of their music. I didn't know this song, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was going to be like, my next question. Were you familiar with Dog Still Things at all?
No, I wasn't at all. And I like immediately heard it and I was like, oh yeah, okay. So like I can hear what's going on. And I was really excited to sort of just take the framework of this composition and do something maybe complimentary, like a reinterpretation of it, you know?
Definitely. So what's your impression of, you're a keyboard player, so what's your impression of Paige McConnell as a keyboard player?
Well, obviously he's like a monster because that band is a four piece. And so he's like, he's filling up a lot of space harmonically, you know, and
definitely.
That's like, you know, we're a four piece too, my band usually on the road. And, he's also got like the most badass rig. And so like, I feel like we're kindred spirits in that regard because, I've never met Paige obviously, but, you know, I travel with a Hammond organ and a Yamaha CP70, which I know he used to have. He used to tour with like a CP70 or a CP80 before he got like an actual grand piano in his rig. But like, you know, I've got a clavinet. I'm probably adding a Moog to the rig. And he's got a lot more going on than that, obviously. But like,
but you're getting there.
Definite like respect for the keyboard game. It's like a labor of love, and you also have to have bandmates who are down, especially, you know, before you get to that, like, you know, shows with 80,000 people status, like, you know, your band is helping you carry all the keyboards. So like, you know, I know Paige had to get through that, and like his brothers in arms, you know?
Yes, definitely. Carried. Literally, right? Literally.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, they're probably, you know, jacked from lifting all those keyboards, man. I know that game. So major respect, Paige side, Rage side. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. definitely Paige side, Rage side.
And I know he's a huge Meters fan because he was in the Funky Meters. Is that correct? The Funky Meters?
Well, he's
Meterman. The Meterman.
Yeah, he's played with them. And Invite a Blue is... now I'm blanking on the drummer.
Zigaboo?
No. It's the drummer for the Funky Meters, though, not the Meters. I don't know. We'll look it up afterwards. Hey, Andy here. Russell Batiste is the Vita Blue drummer, whose name I couldn't recall. He's played with the Meters, the Funky Meters, and many others. But yeah, he definitely has a connection to New Orleans and that New Orleans funk that I definitely hear in your music for sure.
Yeah, totally.
So tell me about you, what the process was once you were signed up for Dog Stole Things. How did you go about arranging it? Let's talk about that first, and then we'll get into sort of the how you actually recorded it then.
So I was kind of reticent to the version I was going off of was like, I think alive in Hamburg, Germany. Is that that? Okay. So like that, that version was slower and I wanted to do something that like would sort of play to my strengths as a musician. Mm-hmm. And I also just been listening to this Pete Townsend solo record a lot recently.
Okay.
Called Who Came First. And I sort of, I'd always been wanting to try like going after those sounds a little bit. So I sort of set it up. I'm like, all right, so like, what if Pete Townsend was covering this in 1970? And that's sort of how I approached it. I knew that like, you know, Trey would definitely dig, you know, and respect because like they're big on the Who for sure. And, so that's, yeah, I mean, that was like where we started. And I also like, I didn't have the full band with me. So like, I'm like a moderately competent bass player. Mm-hmm. And so we had, my buddy Mike Novak come over to engineer and we basically set everything up to track. I guess I should tell everybody a little bit about like the rig we've got going on. Cause I was just set up to record my album here at home.
Mm-hmm.
And,
your excellent album Changes.
Dude, or so this is a new record.
New one. Oh, okay.
Yeah. New.
Even more exciting.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
So we've like wrapped up that and just left the studio in place. And so I've got like, I've got three tape machines here, you know, all the outboard gear.
I can see one of them behind you. Our listeners won't be able to see, but I can see some reel to reels.
Yeah, man.
That's analog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pure analog.
Another labor of love, but well worth it.
Yes.
So like, you know, we've got this control room set up in what used to be the dining room. I live in this parsonage of a church
on
the northwest side of Chicago. And so like this used to be the dining room, living room, and we have it set up as the control room and all the tape machines are up here. And then we ran a snake through the laundry chute so we could rig up the basement for the live room. So like, you know, we had my buddy Mike come over and we tracked everything to this quarter inch eight track tape machine. Mm-hmm. And Colin played drums and I played bass and we did that element live. And then everything else was just overdubbed.
Okay.
You know, it was a lot of fun. We did it in like a night. We kind of took like, you know, 6 hours from starting to mixing, you know, but it was rad. It was like a really fun, like, it was really nice to do something that wasn't my composition. I had like less attached to, I don't know. There was a sort of detachment that was actually really, pleasing about it. If that makes any sense.
Sure. Definitely.
Because like the hard part had already been done. The song was already written.
Right. So now, and there's a lack of preciousness about it, right?
Yeah.
Like it's somebody else's song. So it's already out there. You're just doing what you want to do to it. The acceptance of the song itself is less, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So then is this a typical way for you? I know you've done some other covers too. Is this a typical approach for you with covers or was it sort of a different approach than what you would normally do?
It is different, and I am really grateful for this experience because it's kind of broken down a barrier in terms of like, okay, I can like make this sort of my own spin, you know, take have my own spin on it and sort of see like how I can push the composition and make it unique to my recording. 'Cause heretofore I've done covers, but they've mainly stuck to trying to emulate what's on the original master recording. Mm-hmm. So this was unique in that respect, because I was like, you know, this is a live recording. I'm not going to try and duplicate exactly what they're doing and sort of just utilize the gear we have here and make something new. And so, yeah, it was a really valuable process. I'm glad I got to do it, you know?
Well, yeah, we're really glad that you participated. We think it turned out great. It sounds like you. It sounds different than the original, but it's true to the original still. It still has the same kind of groove to it, which is the core of that song. Mm-hmm. We like it because it fits particularly well as a needle drop. So it's going to be lead one of the sides of the record.
Yeah, I saw that.
We're keeping the track list kind of secret right now, but it does have that like instant make your head bob vibe to it. So we really dig that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm like so glad that you guys dig it, because there's also like, because, you know, there's a potential when you're doing a project like this is like, I had to do a really good job. You know, obviously I'm always trying to do a good job, but it's like, I know how much people love this band and this recording. So I just like, there was kind of some, a tinge of anxiety about like, okay, are they going to receive this well that I did something so different with it? But I think it's still a rocker, you know? So I think like, if you guys dig the original version, you'll dig this version. And I was so glad to see that everybody received it well, you know?
Well, that's the thing about, you know, being a Phish fan, you know, most of the time you appreciate when that band takes a risk. That's part of being a fan of that band. And it's similar here, you know, taking a risk with kind of going outside the box a little bit, but still delivering something that's terrific to listen to. And really, we're really excited to let everybody hear it.
Me too, man. And like the fact that you guys are doing the vinyl releases, you know, I'm stoked about that too.
Yes, analog. Yeah, analog for life, right?
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks again for talking with me, Neil. Appreciate it.
Righteous. Thanks, Andy. Yeah, man. Anytime.
That brings an end to this episode of the Jam Bass Podcast's Clusterflies series. Many thanks to Neil for chatting with us and for participating in the Clusterflies project. Be sure to visit Jam Bass to hear Neil Francis's cover of Phish's Dog Stole Things, and visit www.clusterflies.com to purchase your copy of Clusterflies today.